A lot we could try to pull out at the risk of giving you two homilies in one. I was just going to talk about winds and boats. Like I said, these readings had nothing in common, so it's kind of a struggle. But whatever the Holy Spirit wants. I will start with a little total parentheses. Whenever you see the boat of the apostles and Jesus, like, just remember the boat is always a good image of the church, the apostolic church. In that boat, from that boat, the word of God reached all the shores of the earth. And all the while, Jesus is not in the boat, but he's always with the boat. He's on the mountain praying and with them in spirit. His eyes never leave the boat. And it's from that boat that he does so much. So it's a great image of the church. Close parentheses. The Gospels say that the winds opposed the boat. There's our Lord on the mountain praying. He's looking out at the sea. He sees the boat a few miles offshore, and yet they're struggling. The boat is finding resistance from these high winds. It doesn't necessarily say it was a tremendous storm. That's another story. In this moment, it's just strong winds that are making it difficult for the boat to make any progress. The winds were against it. The winds opposed it. And of course, whenever you're talking about the church, you have the church, the macro church, the church throughout the world, the church of Holy Family Community. We also have the internal, that church of my heart, where God dwells here. So for what it's worth, I was thinking we could talk about the winds that oppose the progress of the church. What are those things we encounter that make it hard for us to get any traction in the spiritual life, in the life of Christ? Think about it, we can do our own examination of conscience. Things that oppose my growth. I'm born into the world, I've received the message of Christ, the grace of the church, the teachings that I'm given, the way of life that our Lord has offered us. And it doesn't take long, and I run into resistance. We can talk about resistance from within. The winds within my own heart oppose what our Lord asks of me. Winds of my laziness. It's hard for me to pray. I have no sense of concentration. I kneel down for 5 minutes and I'm like squirrel, like I'm just like over here again, thinking about the email I didn't write, or that I did write, or that I received, and I can't get any progress in prayer. I can't get up in the morning to pray earlier, before all the distractions begin. The winds are against that progress. The way of life that our Lord lives, that call to go against the currents of my culture. It's really hard to go against those currents. The peer pressure is real. Not to live as our Lord would ask me to live, in the kindness and charity and forgiveness. The purity of heart, the innocence of heart, the openness to everyone, not just the cool group, but even the uncool group. The winds are against that around me as I try to live out what God asks of me. Not only the winds, but it talks about how Jesus came in the fourth watch of the night. That's the darkest time of night, and I can't see. My faith is dimmed. I can't see God in my life. I can't see God present. I can't feel God in prayer. I don't feel his support in trying to live the moral life. It's dark. And the winds are against it. They talk about moments of consolation, where it's easy to live the faith, and then there's moments of desolation. It's dark, and everything within me and around me seems to oppose living according to the Spirit, growing in my faith. I live in a culture, I'm trying to live a faith of Jesus Christ, in a culture of instant gratification. I want to have my cake and eat it too, and eat it right now. And yet our Lord talks about the cross. And like we said just the other day, like denying myself to follow him. And that's not easy. And the winds are against it. We have this FOMO, right? This fear of missing out. Why would you say no to the party and what your friends are doing and spend extra 5 minutes in prayer? You're missing out. And so your whole inner being is pulled away from God, away from prayer, away from silence, away from going to church that extra time during the week, away from that opportunity to go to confession, and the winds are against it. So there are a lot of winds, and especially in our day, like today, there's so much anxiety. My whole day is consumed with anxiety. What's on the news? Do I send my kids to school? Do I not send my kids to school? Do I go to teach at school? Do I quit my job because it's too much risk? And I'm so full of anxiety. There's no peace there. There's no quiet there for me to pray. And the winds are against it. We could just go on and on, but I just invite us to think about, like, what are the winds in my own personal life opposing my progress in the spiritual life? If you want to just take COVID, like, that's precisely steering us away from love, away from peace, away from Holy Communion, away from confession, steering me towards anxiety, steering me towards division, towards arguments, towards all this stuff, and huge tensions. Like, the struggle is real. That boat is trying to make some progress, it's just kind of constantly falling backwards because the winds are there against it. Prayer is still hard. I keep falling into sin. I keep struggling to believe. My doubts seem stronger than my faith. The fears and anxieties decide my life. At the beginning of COVID, maybe I prayed more, but now I find myself praying less. There are so many winds against that progress that we want to make. We could go into the church, the macro sense of the church, like the church that needs to grow and thrive, but there's so many things opposing it. Our culture scoffs at religion. Our culture scoffs at pretending that God speaks to you when, of course, you know he never spoke to you. Our culture scoffs at living a moral life when everyone around you says, just whatever feels good, just do it. Our culture scoffs at so many things. The idea of loving everyone in a culture that's so full of cliques. And this group, and that lunch group, and that other lunch group, and I did this ministry, but not that ministry because I don't like so-and-so. And the church wants to grow and thrive and do more ministry, but there just seems to be so many things opposed to it. That boat of Peter, the boat of the apostles, is impeded in so many ways. The good news is that our Lord is nevertheless on the mountain praying the whole time. He never takes his eyes off the church, whether it's my heart and my own struggles, or his people, the apostolic church, the church of Luling, the church of the world. He's constantly there working with us. We put our faith not so much in our own efforts, which are going to run into opposition. That's a given. But our faith is in our Lord, in the power that he provides. And we wait for his moment. He intercedes for us. He's very in tune to our struggles. And in certain moments, he comes even tangibly to us in our needs. So I was talking about the winds. If it helps you, great. If it didn't help you, sorry. Let's talk just for a few more minutes about the boat. We already said take one on the boat is that it's the church. Take two on that image of the boat, especially in this idea of when Jesus calls Peter out of something, out of the boat. I picture the boat as like my worldly securities and my comforts. My reason, my faith circumscribed within the limits of my reason. And as long as I stay within that boat that I control and I know where it's going, it's going within my calculations and my logic and my comfort, I'm good. I can do that. I can live that kind of religion. I can live that kind of faith and relationship with Christ. But in this moment, our Lord suddenly calls Peter out of the boat. And that's not comfortable. That's not easy. And I feel like we're in our spiritual life, sometimes we're going to get into that moment of losing traction. I can get no farther or further in my faith. I'm only going to succumb to the winds so long as I stay in that boat of my whatever, my ways of thinking, my limits. I need to step out of the boat. So what is my boat? What are my limits? What are those floaties that I need when I swim? Because I'm afraid to dive into the deep. And you can talk about those limitations. And the whole point is, like the rich young man, our Lord wants to unload us of those floaties, those securities, those comforts. But there are those limits to my trust in God, my trust in God's ways. God can ask this of me, but not that of me. My limits to the time that I have available to God. I can do the once a week mass thing. But that's it, because my life is too busy. I stay within the comfort or controlled schedule of my boat, and it's already full. God can't ask more time from me. He shouldn't, because it's already controlled and scheduled. The limits in the faith that I follow, my faith, the content of my faith, which truths and teachings of the church I'll submit to. And then there's other ones that I don't follow because they don't make a whole lot of sense to my logic, so that God shouldn't ask me to follow those. Those are not comfortable. Those are hard. So I stay in my boat. I don't go to confession because that's awkward. Why would you confess your sins to a priest? Especially this priest. But anyway, limits to what I can let go of and what I can't let go of. We talked about the schedule, my sports commitments, my school commitments, my work commitments. I can't let go of certain things. We have to have the certain standard of living. And if our Lord asks more of me, and that means letting go of that certain standard of living, well, don't ask that, Lord. I like my boat. The luxuries that I surround my life with. What's comfortable and what's conformable? The limits of going with the flow. I want to fit in, Lord. And the whole community around me, society around me, they live this way. Don't ask me to live different. That would look weird. I want to look reasonable in my faith, not radical. So we stay in the boat. Limits of my fears of commitment. I don't want to commit too much. I want to stay kind of loose so I can go wherever it takes me. And I stay comfortable in my boat. My fears of what people would think of me if I gave something more to Christ. So I simply say, Lord, our Lord, don't ask that of me. I like my comfortable boat. It fits within my logic. It fits with my reason. My faith life with you is just fine the way it is. I know I'm not getting anywhere deeper, but at least it's comfortable, this status quo. And our Lord looks at Peter and says, come out of the boat. So long as you stay in that boat, you can get no farther. And you stop making progress. You stop growing in your life with me. Get out of the boat. Step over the walls you've erected. Don't be afraid. Trust not in your securities. Trust not in your comforts. Trust not in what you expect tomorrow will look like if you do this, that, or the other. Trust in me. Give yourself entirely to me. No floaties attached. Let go. And all of us can feel like, wait, that's really hard to do, Lord. I want to have at least one little arm on the boat. Let go of the boat. And the coolest thing is, Peter actually walked on water. He took one step, another step on water. You got to look at his brother James saying, I should have done that. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. Look at you go. Until what? Until he saw the things that made him afraid, the sense of what might happen if the winds pick up, like he started to feel the sense of the winds. And then he took his eyes off of Jesus alone. Put his eyes on the, what if this, what if that, what will I do without that, and begin to sing. My worldly calculations, like this isn't going to work. And I start sinking. And of course, Peter shows us what to do. We call out to Christ, the one person who can keep me on top of the water. Not my floaties. COVID should have shown us all by now that my calculations of what will happen tomorrow, throw those out the window. Hold on to the one thing that sustains us. Our Lord says, leave everything else and follow me. But everything else, even the entire boat you thought you were floating on, and let me carry you. The boat is where I'm in control. When I step out of the boat, I say, Lord, you're in control, and I will go wherever you lead, and I need nothing else. Just give me the strength. So food for thought, our Lord is very close to us, even as he challenges us. We do not have a God who says, you're good, have fun, I'll see you later. He's constantly saying, another step, Take another step. Lord, I've come far enough. You're only in the middle of the lake. The point is to get to the other side. Keep going. Let go of another thing for me. Trust in me more than you trusted in me yesterday. Grow. What do they say about the cell that doesn't grow? The human body cell, whatever. If it's not growing, what? It's dead. Our Lord is constantly calling us to more. We ask the Holy Spirit to show us where are the winds that are pushing us backwards, keeping us from gaining any traction? And what are the limits that I've put around me that our Lord can't ask of me to give up, to follow Him more fully, more radically, more rooted on Him and less rooted on other securities? Amen? Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.